At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
About emotional podcast. Hey, thanks for coming in. It's good to see you. I hope you're doing okay. Come on, why don't you just take a seat and get comfortable. What's been going on? How's your week been? Yeah, tell me all about it. I'm Jordan. I'll be your therapist and one of your hosts today.
Good evening. My name's Doge, and I'm here to talk about knock-knock jokes. The best thing about knock-knock jokes is that they're appropriate for all ages. There's a knock-knock joke for everyone at every stage of their life. Knock-knock jokes grow with you. And so if you'll turn your attention to the screen behind me, this is a knock-knock joke for grown-ups. Knock-knock.
Who's there? Who's there?
When, where?
When, where, when, where, who?
Tonight, my place, you and me.
Are we going to have sex?
That's for grown-ups to decide.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And yeah. Hi, kids. I'm Bloofy.
I'm Carter.
Yeah.
Oh, where did Bloofy?
Hey,
JK, what have you done with Bloofy?
Just make sure you don't try at all if you're going to do a Ron Funches. Just like really give us 10%. Give us a 10% effort for that voice.
That's what I did.
What have you done with Bloofy?
I already did that for you. I just realized as I started how unique it is. It feels so recognizable. And yet, so far.
I'm not even Ron sure that I could attempt a Funches voice. He has such a unique and perfect voice.
100%. The most bespoke mouth and throat in the world.
Him as the homeless man singing in New Girl to Winston when he's on his date.
Oh, yeah.
It's Coach. It's Coach.
It is. Yeah.
Is it Coach and CC?
Man, I totally forgot about that. That had to be early.
Dude, it's so funny.
That was early Funches. This is baby Funches.
Baby Funch.
Baby Funches, dude.
Baby
little
Funch.
Bunch of Funches.
Little Funch of Crunch.
Little Funch of Crunch.
I really do love Ron Funches. Ron Funches is a huge nerd. He's into all of the same stuff that I am into. And it makes me really happy anytime he pops up on like a podcast or something.
He's a huge nerd?
Yeah.
Bet I could fight him. Put him in his locker. Nerd. Yeah, he doesn't even have a letter jacket.
Maybe.
Nerd.
Get him.
Maybe.
Nerd. Does he even like football? Does he even have any football cards to prove that he likes football? Nerd.
Wow. Clear nerd. That's the number one thing is if you've got football
cards. I've never checked with him to see where he's at vis-a-vis football.
I bet he likes it.
Where are we all at? Just for the viewers to know, where are we all at vis-a-vis football?
How do we feel about football?
That's my favorite. One of my favorite things.
No opinion.
That's one of my favorite things.
I understand it. I can't speak it.
I try and find that comfy, cozy middle on this podcast. Mm. I don't know. I guess you could say try and find it. I think I'm just naturally bent towards it. I kind of do that a little bit with culture as well. He's like, just I'm gonna like sports. It. I'm gonna know enough about video games, and I'm gonna dabble. I'm gonna try some music here.
And I think your video game knowledge like is probably one of anywhere. Your weaker, probably yeah, one of dude. Your weaker places.
Yes,
like you, you almost knowledge. Know a little bit.
Yeah, you
took so much.
You
of
know.
It.
You almost know a little bit about video games. That is correct. That's I keep. It. Do you guys see these things on TikTok where the lady approaches people on the street and she's like, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think you would rate your video game knowledge? And then they rate it. And then she's like, I'm going to show you some video game characters and you're going to tell me what you think their names are. And then whatever.
Yeah.
The number of people that are like, oh, 7. And then it shows them Link and they're like, is that Legolas? It's just like, what are you doing? Why did you say 7 if you don't even know who Link is? I don't understand.
They're like, yeah, I know Donkey Kong. Kitty Kong.
Kitty Mario. Kong. Did you say Titty Kong?
His brother Larry. I know all of the Kitty. Guys.
There's a Lanky. I guess that's something.
Isn't Lanky that's Kong the orangutan?
Mm-hmm.
The orange utan? Mm-hmm.
That is correct. The orange utan. Orange utan, I didn't say banana.
Got him.
Hey. Spoilers for 2 chunks in like a year when I run out of knock knock chunks.
It's all anti.
You'll never run out. That's what's
that.
Unfortunate. We're talking Inside Out 2 in the second half sure. of this episode.
I thought that was obvious.
But I do want to reveal an emotion, and that's sadness, in that we do, it is worth bringing up Donald Sutherland just barely. Yeah, this was news the day before we recorded this podcast. Big bummer.
Yeah, it's very
it's
sad.
Like you realize these people are ancient. Like he was old. Like he was an old man.
Sure.
And it's like, oh, that made me sad. And then sometimes I'll get into like this sadness of like thinking of if I live to be that old, how many more bits of news like this I'll get until then. And then I gotta pull out, man. It's like, hey, there's no need to go down there. We don't have to do that.
Yeah.
But shout out Donald Sutherland. All that you did. President Snow. I mean, Pride and Prejudice, Papa, dude. That's one of my favorite
the
moments
PPP.
At the end of that movie.
The triple
the
P.
Triple P, dude. Wow. Much love.
Yeah, much that's love. Very sad.
Very sad.
What an accomplished man. What an accomplished career. But very sad.
And what a fun vibe for our podcast.
What a fun vibe. And now I introduce anger. To the podcast and discussed.
Yay.
Because we're gonna play Rank You Very Much, but here's what it's gonna be. We're gonna do 2024's worldwide box office top 10 earners.
Ooh. Ooh.
2024 worldwide box
Yikes.
Office top 10 earners. This is
what if
the
I can't remember
worst
any movies.
Year on record so far. One of the worst. I think I've also seen that it's the worst. Like it's really bad. Like the worst since.
I have seen that it's the worst, to which I would like to submit, I don't know, 1804.
Mm.
Yeah, right.
$0 box office that year.
That was
guaranteed.
A bad one. Yeah.
Yeah.
A string of
so
years.
So asinine,
after
these too. People.
When do they, but for real, like when, how do they measure that? When do they start counting? Because it's like this year, the first ever movie came out. And I was like, well, that. Can't have made more than yeah. all of these put together. Yeah.
It made $500.
Okay. 500.
That's over 3 trillion ticket sales.
It was just trade. It wasn't even money.
42 sheep.
How
this movie how, made 19 who, nickels.
Who wants to go first? I don't think you'll get them all. I think you get real close. But
I'll
who wants
first.
To go first?
I'll
I thought it'd
first.
Be interesting. Oh.
We both said it. You have to choose.
Those
his favorite.
First. Because we're going to make you feel a little bit of anger and disgust because you have to choose between your friends
I've already
now
done it. Doge,
and risk
go ahead.
One of us being... Okay. He's the cat who's very fat and loves to eat lasagna. Garfield.
Number 8, the Garfield movie. The 8th highest earning of the year so far with $198 million. That's 8th place, $198 million. Some movies cost more than that to make. But yeah, 8th place, Garfield movie. Jordan?
Oh no, man. Dune Part 2.
Number 1, Dune Part 2, the highest earning movie of the year in the world at $711 million. $711 million. Doge?
Hmm. Trying to think of what has come out this year.
I mean, if you can, then you'll probably get it.
If it came out, it's got to be on this list.
Apes. Kingdom of the Rise of the Dawn of the War of the Planet of the Apes.
Number five. $377 million. Number five. It's the fifth highest earning of the year. About halfway through the year. Wild.
I am not joking. I cannot think of movies right now for some reason.
I'm trying to think of like animated stuff. I feel like animated stuff has done better than these, than like live action stuff this year.
I mean, there's no way Inside Out's already on the list. But
no, it's just been, I mean, we'd have data for one weekend for that, right? Two weekends maybe.
But I mean, it's Pixar. Garfield made the list.
He's a cat who's very fat and loves to eat lasagna. So like, of course he made the list.
Is that your guess?
It's funny, dude.
Yeah, why not? I don't, I mean,
number four.
Cops gonna come get me?
Wow.
Oh. Whoa, a bit of hope. A bit of hope in this wasteland of money-making movies. Inside Out 2 is number four already for the year.
Wow, after, good for them.
After like 7 days out. And it has good already made $438 million.
Wow.
I mean, projecting to be number one at some point before its, its run is over. And ooh, I feel like it'd get pretty close to a billion, but
sure.
Yeah.
No strikes so far. We're going to get them all. We're going to get them all probably.
Because we know movies. We're good at knowing movies.
Hey, two chunks. We know movies.
We know movies. Two chunks. Characters welcome.
Inside Out 2 is already almost, it's $50 million away from being the highest domestic release of the year.
Yeah.
And that'll probably happen today.
That's pretty crazy.
It's very exciting.
I think that much like Knock Knock jokes, sometimes people like the horny ones. Challengers.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Challengers was number 20. Didn't even make $100
million. Wow.
That's because it looked bad.
I think that no matter the final quality of that movie, something that should be discussed is that the marketing for that movie was very bad. No matter what the final outcome and quality of that movie was, I just think the marketing for that movie was terrible. It might be a Kingsman situation. Like when Kingsman: The Secret Service came out, I was like, oh, this looks like Alex Rider. This looks like Spies for Kids. No, thank you. And it wasn't until a friend was like, trust me, it's awesome. Then I was like, oh, they just marketed this horribly.
I think the thing with Challengers was the trailer, because like, the conceit, like the premise of the movie felt like it needed so much explanation that the trailer had to do so much heavy lifting.
Yeah.
It's like you get 90 seconds of this trailer before you're like, before they've finished summarizing the like setup to the story.
Yeah.
And be like, and now guess what happens? It's like, that's crazy.
I also just think that it's the vibe of like biopic, except it's made up, is weird. I don't know. Yeah. I understand that that's just sort of movies, but there's a tone. There's like a biopic tone. There's a based on a true story tone. And the trailers for Challengers had that. And it was just odd.
When it's using like actual real world events and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, they're playing at Wimbledon. It's like, no, they're not. Never did.
No, they're not.
Never heard of them.
Like Wimbledon.
Dang.
Doge with his first strike.
Ever.
What's the movie where Barry Keoghan does weird sex stuff?
I'm not telling you the name of it.
Saltburn?
Yeah. That was this year, right?
Nope.
That wasn't this year?
Mm-hmm. No. It was around Christmas.
Last winter.
Really?
It has already had,
Did you guys ever end up watching The Holdovers?
No, I haven't yet.
Oh, so good, dude.
Very so good. I'm a big Paul. I'm a big Paul fan.
Everybody in that movie is fantastic, but he is on a different level than I've ever seen.
It's very
him before.
Good.
I love him.
Timeless feeling to it. It's
big time.
Because the way it was shot, like that was shot on like vintage equipment. The audio was all recorded mono, like it was like they would have done in the 70s. But the thing about Paul is that Paul is always on another level than everybody else.
Sure. I just mean in the
sometimes it's the wrong like, level for the production.
Fair.
But Paul's Paul's always on a different level.
Like when he was I agree Rhino? With that. Even yeah. Big Fat Liar,
right?
His character is like a clown in a circus compared to everybody else, and it's great.
Carter, you're exactly right. When he was Rhino, it's just like, have you seen a movie before?
Right.
Because what you're doing is crazy.
It's so funny. Maybe he's a one of one, huh?
I would hear that argument, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe he's more similar to like a Nick Cage kind of vibe where it's just like committing with his whole self. It's just more, he's just better at acting than Nick Cage is.
Yeah, maybe. Very likely.
Who knows? Nobody. The answer's nobody.
We try. That's why you listen. We try. We try to know.
We try to know. But ultimately, nobody does.
You want to hear what it sounds like? Try hard. Listen to us.
The Exorcist. The new Exorcist movie.
Nope.
Okay.
I don't even know where that is. What a scary trailer that was, huh? No, thank you.
No, I'm good. I'm all good.
No, thank you. Each have a strike. Two more strikes to come. Will they touch any more of the top 10 movies, top 10 moneymakers?
Doubtful.
Of 2024. Just think of it.
Let's try. He's not just Ken. Let's try Fall Guy.
It was in theaters for like 2 weeks.
Dude, number 11.
Wow.
That's a strike for you.
No.
That's a strike for you at 107
Refresh
million.
The page. Refresh. Let me buy it on Amazon really quick. Refresh the page.
Nope. Sorry, dude.
It doesn't take that into account, does it? It's just box office.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was only in theaters for 2 weeks before it hit Amazon.
It was
beat Challengers by a lot.
Sure did, dude.
It's a great point. Looked better. It's probably part of it.
Yeah. It was a great movie.
Oh, I know what my next guess is going to be.
That's great because I sure don't. I genuinely am out of movies. I thought of Fall Guy, but I didn't think it would even come close. So good pull.
So far, I've got number one, number four, number five, number eight.
What was that movie with Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney? Anyone But You?
Anyone But You?
That's sort of a rom-com vibe. Judging by how you didn't know the name off the top of your head, I'm going to guess it's not there, but we're guessing.
Bong, bong. Two strikes.
That was going to be my next guess.
Was it really?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Oh, nice. I can read it in your eyes.
You just want to take a shot at it so I can just read this list, Doge? Everybody wins because you both lost?
You designed the game, man.
I know.
That was really mean. That was really mean to say to me.
And it's exactly what I wanted to happen is happening.
I'm out here trying. It's really mean. You're forming a core memory right now. And guess what? It's red and blue because I'm angry and sad.
Oh, well.
Huh. Monkey Man.
Bong Bong.
That's literally the only other movie that has come out this year that I can think of. Because I know Furiosa is like one of the biggest box office bombs in movie history.
It's number 12. Behind Fall Guy. So sad to it.
Oh, I guess it's not talking about profit. It's just box office. It doesn't take into effect how much the movie cost.
Correct.
To make. Yeah.
Jordan, want to take one more stab at it before I read this list?
Yeah.
Are you going to do that thing where you're like, just say a movie and lose, dude? You already got enough wrong. Just say a movie and lose. Because I think, you did that.
If we both go out with me. If we both go out in the same round, but I got number one earlier, does that mean I win?
Yes.
Well, that I can just...
How many total has he gotten?
That we had to have gotten the same amount because we're on the same round and you just went out.
Sorry, I'm not counting cards. I'm just trying to play the game.
If Jordan got number one and number four. Doe's got number five and number eight.
Oops.
And number 12.
Oops, I guess.
And 20.
That's true. It's just collection. If it makes you feel any better, I think everyone would have this much trouble in such a down year in the box office.
Yeah, I don't. There's just not really been a lot that excited me this year, and yeah. So I think I'm having a hard time like remembering any of them. I'm gonna say probably The Parent Trap.
Ooh, bong bong. Just missed it.
Just missed it.
Number 10. Number 9.
Yeah, forgot about that. I think that actually looks fun.
Bob Marley, One Love, was number 9.
Really?
Number 8, wow. The Garfield Movie. Number 7, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Couldn't even tell you that actually that came out.
And this is also, this is not like a, oh, that's right. Those make a lot of money. It's like, no, this year sucked. Right. So don't give Ghostbusters any credit here. Number 6, Bad Boys, Ride or Die.
Okay.
Number 5, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Number 4, Inside Out 2. Number 3, Kung Fu Panda 4, which I forgot even released.
Same.
It had a funny little fart trailer. That has a good trailer where he wakes up.
I love a good fart trailer.
That's funny every time.
And number 2, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire. There you go. Number one was Doom.
I didn't even remember that came out either. I have not been excited about movies this year.
Inside Out 2 is very likely going to be the new champion of 2024. Sure. But it's like winning the NBA Finals in the COVID year. It's like, well,
this is why we pivoted away from focusing entirely on movies, because we could see that it wasn't going to go there.
Yeah, I mean, we'll be sad with you.
Yeah, we'll be sad.
Do you think maybe it should be pronounced Godzilla by Kong? Like if you're measuring like 4x5,
that's true.
Godzilla
probably.
By Kong. Like that's Godzilla how you measure things in that universe. Godzilla by Kong.
Yeah.
If it was anime rules, they would just say the letter X, wouldn't they?
Godzilla X Kong 4.5 Requiem of a Giant Earth to Sleep.
No, yeah, it would be like Godzilla X Kong
0
: Birth. That's like the Kingdom Hearts naming conventions.
Hollow : Earth. I feel lots of emotions. Do you guys want to spin the wheel of sin emotions and figure out what emotions you feel?
Sure. Yeah.
We're going to spin the wheel of sin emotion. I have seeded this wheel with all of the emotions from Inside Out 2 plus one bonus emotion, which statistically we probably won't land on. Whatever the wheel lands on, you guys need to tell me the last piece of art you consumed that made you feel that particular emotion. Are we ready to spin?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sad we missed the spinning part. It seems exciting.
Crazy. Okay. I'm going to send you guys a screenshot of this because it landed legitimately on the line between nostalgia and our bonus emotions. I want you guys to choose which one we talk about. Nostalgia, self-explanatory. I've listed our bonus emotion as Bing Bong. and so since Bing Bong is Riley's imaginary friend, if we land on Bing Bong, the goal is to tell me the last piece of media you consumed that like totally sparked your imagination and lit your brain on fire and made you feel like, ooh, super imaginative.
If I zoom in, this is
I will tell you it is nostalgia. Yeah, it is nostalgia.
On a zoom in,
very close. Zoom in.
Pretty clearly pointed on nostalgia if you zoom in on the dial.
Yeah,
at the Kentucky Derby, you zoom
over.
In, right?
It's one pixel over into nostalgia. We can do
it's
that
be nostalgia.
One too.
Bing Bong was clever. I like that. But we got to follow the rules, dude. We're a rules pod. And my answer is Challengers.
Made you feel nostalgia?
Yeah.
Why? For how
I remember
many
the last time
be?
That I had, yeah, kind of a bigamy sports-based relationship.
Yeah.
TBU.
Yeah. Just like playing intramural tennis at my Christian college.
I did actually have a huge nostalgia rush with Total Recall. It was really wild to me when we watched Total Recall. Got a lot of nostalgia of like the, because it felt so, I remember being maybe like fifth or sixth grade when that showed up on TNT and just watching it. And I was already an Arnie fan and just been like, what on, this is so bizarre.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I had a good snack and Three Boobs Lady was there. And I was like, I'm so confused.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like that, but I don't know if I don't like that. Sure. And I was just like, yeah, major nostalgia in watching Total Recall. I think there's some actors that give me nostalgia in general, like a Robin Williams, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jim Carrey, like people that were huge, huge, huge in the 90s specifically.
Sure.
Big old nostalgia. Even Adam Sandler, dude.
Hmm.
Nostalgia there. Because they had a peak. Johnny Depp kind of does presence. That because he was a big deal. Yeah. But yeah, big, big nostalgia from Total Recall. Took me back to a time.
I think for me, probably, and I may have talked about this on the show before, one of the most powerful, like primal elemental examples of nostalgia that I've had recently was about a year ago, the release of Tears of the Kingdom. Staying up until like the 11 p.m. release of that and then playing it right away. Having gone in like pretty, like I knew about as much about Tears of the Kingdom as I would have if a Zelda game released 15 years ago. Like yeah. No spoilers, like pretty, going into it pretty blind. And just the like freedom that that game gives you by game design, the encouragement for like out of the box thinking and problem solving. I felt it's that same way you feel like when you're a kid and somebody tells you something totally wild about a game that it's like, there's no way that's true, but you're a kid. You don't know. They're right. Just like, I heard that in Super Mario 64, if you push A, A, B, B, X, X, Y, Y, up, down, 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 then you unlock Luigi. Sorry.
There's no X and Y on a Nintendo 64 controller. Grow up.
Oh my gosh. I should have known that wasn't possible, but it was the sense of just like totally wide open. Like you literally you can do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you can do that.
That's
yeah,
so
maybe. Who knows? But that was just such a like, that's probably one of my top like gaming memories, gaming experiences was that launch week of Tears of the Kingdom when it felt like everybody in the world at the same time was like, wait, you can do this?
Yeah.
Wait, you can do this? And then the meta that emerged out of that of like, here's the best way to build a little one wheel monopod that build a monopod that Link can just roll around on. And it was... I don't know, man. Something about that felt very much like my friends and I all just got Ty the Tasmanian Tiger for PlayStation 2. And we've just discovered, oh, there's this new kind of boomerang that I didn't even know about.
No way.
Yeah. I'm having that same feeling with Elden Ring That's right awesome. Now. My entire internet is all doing the same thing. Like my corner of the internet is all doing the exact same thing right now, which is just playing That's Elden awesome. Ring. So I'm literally watching a Twitch streamer play it in the corner of my screen while we're recording this episode.
See, I'm like dedicated to.
Oh,
like I'm like focused on. I'm focused on what we're doing,
dude. I am
because it's like important to me.
Not.
When I was
a kid, I had a babysitter that told me that her boyfriend beat Ocarina of Time and that there was definitely for sure a rainbow sword, and I just had to go find it. Which I now know was just to get me to leave her alone. But at the time, did consume my waking thoughts and dreams.
What was that babysitter's name?
I don't remember. I think she only babysat for us a couple of times.
Feels like Kelly. Kelly feels like
doesn't
a babysitter
it feel
name.
Like, doesn't it feel like a babysitter name?
Kelly?
Brittany.
That's diabolical.
Like a babysitter name.
I had a Brittany. Candace.
Candace?
Candace Kelly Brittany? That's diabolical.
Was she babysitting to support her stripper job on the side? Candace.
Whoa. No. A very lovely person who does not listen to this podcast for sure, but
yeah. Maybe.
Because
though.
She's too busy
you
stripping.
You never know.
Oh my gosh. What have I done? What have I done?
For me, I think that the heaviest, like intense feeling of nostalgia that I have felt in a very long time was, okay. So I have two examples. One is that I will just sort of get overwhelmed with this like melancholic feeling of nostalgia out of nowhere. Sometimes I'll just like get hit with like a wave of remember how it used to be, like out of nowhere. Sometimes it's brought on.
TikTok gives me those all the time. It's this, it's that dove, that like morning dove sound. You know what I'm talking about?
No, morning dove sound.
It's like POV. You're 8 years old and you wake up. It's 10 p.m. July 15th, 2006 or whatever.
Are you talking about with like the bird sounds?
Yeah.
You know what's funny is everybody on TikTok is like, birds just don't sound like that anymore. If you wake up and go outside, they do. They sound the exact same.
They super do. Super do. Hear one of those guys every day. Yeah.
If you just
every single day.
If you just get up in the morning and go outside during the morning, you'll hear those same birds, yeah. I promise.
We're all still waiting on birds two to drop. Yeah. But birds one is still going great.
I don't think I'm gonna upgrade.
In circulation.
I think birds one does everything I need birds to do. I don't think I need
it. For me, it always comes on whenever I'm in a place I shouldn't be at a time I shouldn't be there. So by that I mean like I used to get this feeling when I was a kid where it was like, you're supposed to go to school, but you have a dentist appointment. And then after the dentist appointment, it's like, oh, you get to go get a fun lunch before you go to school. And you're not technically at the dentist anymore. And you should be at school, but you aren't.
Yeah.
Whenever I do something like that, that feeling comes on and like washes over me. And I'm like, oh, I am a kid and I am doing something bad. And it's awesome.
Is that?
Yeah.
Because I totally know the feeling you're talking about. I got that same feeling when my mom's a teacher. When I was at school in the summertime.
Yeah.
And it's like the lights are off in this part of the school. Is that like a sister feeling to that kind of like almost dread of being in a liminal space where you're not supposed to be?
Maybe, but I think it has less to do with location and more to do with the shirking of responsibility in a harmless way. It's sure. Not like
it's hooky. It's hooky.
It's a hooky feeling. Yeah. It's not like I'm genuinely putting my job or whatever in danger by not doing something. It's more like I'm 17 and I drove myself to the dentist and nobody knows that I went to Chick-fil-A first before I went back to school.
Yeah.
Right.
The dentist.
Oh, I thought you meant before the dentist.
No.
And I was like, the dentist knows. If dentist knows that peanut oil, dentist knows.
But it's like, dentist thinks I went back to school. Mom thinks I went back to school. School thinks I'm still at the dentist, but I'm in my car in the Chick-fil-A parking lot listening to music and eating lunch real quick. Like that feeling. Yeah. Whenever I can snatch a taste of that. Ooh.
Yeah.
Working remote, I kind of get that. Like if I have a remote day and I'm at home, I'm like, wait a minute. I think I'm going to watch this YouTube video right now.
Totally. Dude,
okay. Speaking of working remote, I was in a coffee shop the other day and they had like, I think they had just cleaned the floors with like a, you know, just like a commercial cleaner, whatever, like some whatever soap that you, is a concentrate that you mop with or whatever.
Sure.
It smelled like the floor, like the clean smell of a place I used to work where they would clean the floors with that same stuff. And it's been over 4 years since the last time I went to an office.
There's like a 90% chance it's a Fabuloso. That's all it is.
Sure. Yeah. But it's like, I had this nostalgia of like, ah, remember when you used to go to the office? Those days were fun, huh? And then I had to be like, no, brain. Work from home, work for self. Way better, brain.
Everybody got that.
Go
work,
office,
Stockholm
not good,
syndrome.
Brain. I know.
Everybody got that thing where it's like, but if my actions aren't earning a revenue, then what am I worth as a human? It's like, that's
nothing.
Capitalism, baby.
Nothing.
You've been infected. Congratulations.
You've been infected. What are you going to do? Lowercase? What are you going to do? Lowercaseism? No, capitalism's fine.
True. The other time I feel nostalgia is anytime I watch even a little bit of a Disney Channel original movie that came out between like 1994 and 2006.
Sure.
If I catch even a snippet of a Brink, a Smart House, a Halloween Town, whatever, like it, I am eight sitting on the floor in my parents' bedroom upstairs watching a Disney Channel original movie on like a summer's day.
Amazing.
We watched through all of Scrubs for the first time last
Scrubs
summer.
Is so good, dude.
Scrubs is a very nostalgia show. Not that I did not watch it.
It is
at
just
all
of its time.
Last summer. But it is just so, like, it is so soaked in 2003 that it just, like, this feels like I'm a young kid again.
Major. Yeah, I get that for sure. Oh, what a good show.
It's a great show. Great show. Had a bride a couple months ago walk down the aisle to Book of Love, mm-hmm. which they use in the finale of Scrubs. Mm-hmm. And I had just watched the finale of Scrubs.
Oh, cool.
Got God a little bit, guys.
Got it's a great dude. Song. Scrubs has the, I mean, it's Bill Lawrence. It's Ted Lasso. The same
sure,
team
yeah.
Which that made Ted
also
Lasso.
Has the best needle drops.
But yeah, Scrubs is just, the music in Scrubs is fantastic. I still will randomly sometimes think about, I can't even remember who the guy is that sings the song. I think it's the guy from, that sings Land Down Under. But the, in season one or two, the guy that follows them around with the acoustic guitar and keeps singing the, I can't get to sleep. I think about the situation, you know?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Sometimes that song gets stuck in my head and it won't go away. It's so good. Well, I guess we should probably shout out some mints.
I'll make a deal with you, listeners. If you can promise us that we'll get stuck in your head and won't go away for good, and you'll keep listening to and downloading our episodes, then you get to listen. Then you get the privilege of us doing shout announcements right now.
Also, if you're, before you go to shout announcements, you might hear us mention the fact that Doge, his internet died. Well, he came back and we re-recorded this last part. So, you know, you figure out where the cutoff happens.
Tricked ya.
Got him.
Welcome to Shout Announcements.
Mr. Ed.
It's this part where we give shout outs and make announcements. I want to give a shout out to Doge's internet that died in the middle of Carter's beautiful nostalgia-based and emotion discussion. And so Doge didn't get to hear all that good stuff about Adam Sandler. So that's a huge bummer. But
sorry, man.
Hopefully his internet will be back. And if he's on the back half of the episode, that means it worked again. And if he's not, that means it didn't. So we're all, listener and host alike, in for a surprise. I want to talk about next week. We will be continuing Saturday afternoon with the seminal classic Face Off. Should be a wild ride. And I'm excited because the Pod Boys are actually going to watch this one together. It's been a long time.
You can just tell when it's got that watch together energy. And this one,
it's an obvious. It's
Nick Cage alone, but yes, yes.
It's a pretty obvious choice. Tune in for that.
Tune in for Discord. Tune in for the $3 tier of Patreon for bonus episodes and extra votes. Tune in to the $5 tier of Patreon to come into the Discord and join that community, which is consistently active. It's something that I think, jumping in, you might be surprised how much of a source that can be for many things. In the Two Chunks Discord, we have the Two Chunks Movie Club, right? So if you follow us on Instagram or on our socials, you know that you can vote for a movie for us to see and then review on the pod. And then that movie you get to see with us. You don't really get to know where we're going. Now, granted, the theater options have greatly decreased. So if you're kind of a guesser and just want to see if you can show up at the right time at the movie with us and the members of the Two Chunks Movie Club and kind of sneak in, you got a better chance now because a lot of our options closed their doors. But we have for July, you'll be able to vote. Each month you've been able to vote for four movies for us to see with the Two Chunks Movie Club. If you're over there in that Discord. For July, we have Despicable Me 4, Long Legs, Twisters, and Deadpool and Wolverine are our four options for July.
I really hope it's Twisters.
Dude,
I'm seeing it
regardless. Yeah, I'm seeing both of those movies But you should be seeing that soon on our socials, if not already. We'll have that vote. We'll have that poll live. So that we can decide what are we going to do about
July?
I'm
a little afraid it's going to be Despicable Me just for the meme of it all. But
there's a lot of heat over in the Discord right now because we have had a long-standing.
Is it a beef with the Minions?
War? Beef?
Oh, it's a war. I think it's an escalation from beef. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's more of a war with the Minions.
Sure.
But yeah, it's probably, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It certainly won't get my vote. Because I vote in it. I'm one of the pod boys. And it's fine not to. I understand why Jordan doesn't. But Jordan doesn't vote.
Feels like putting my thumb on the scale. I don't like it.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. I like controlling things. So let me go ahead and put.
Yes, I'm not a fan of control.
That's why we never not do what I want. Because I have so many emails that I've made that I can just enter in and vote as much as I want.
Wow, look at you.
Pretty diabolical.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, here we go. Inside Out 2, the movie, the film, the experience. We're going to talk about it. Doge, give us a synopsis so that we can do this.
This week's IMDb synopsis comes to us courtesy of IMDb user Olisilumia.
Okay.
Teenager Riley's mind headquarters is undergoing a sudden demolition to make room for something entirely unexpected. New emotions, joy, sadness, anger, fear, and disgust, who've long been running a successful operation by all accounts, aren't sure how to feel when anxiety shows up. And it looks like she's not alone.
Ooh. It's a horror movie.
It's a horror movie, isn't it?
We watched this. We saw it in theaters with the Two Chunks Movie Club. It was a good time.
That's right.
Nigh on about a week ago.
Roughly. I don't think I'd even watched the trailer for this, so I didn't even know like what to expect from this at all.
I hadn't either.
And I found it delightful, engaging, and fun. And I think it's worth talking about, much like the first Inside Out, like the care that was taken to portray the emotions things like that. But
I'm not afraid to say it. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. Yeah,
I did too. I think my super pump. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say first, I think it's good to say like, it's also like pretty funny. Like I think that's been a common complaint with animated films and just movies in general recently is like cheap humor that doesn't actually make you laugh. And I straight up giggled several times.
I actually don't think there was any fart or burp jokes in this one.
Yeah, it was very
nice.
Like the Marvel era of Disney has a certain flavor. Yeah. And I feel like this did not have that flavor, which is a good thing.
Yeah, a very good thing.
This felt to me in the same way that Toy Story 2 is probably not as good as Toy Story 1. It's a great sequel, but it's probably not as good as Toy Story 1. It's still fantastic. This feels like that kind of sequel to me, where it's like, it is certainly not as good as Inside Out. But it's not Cars 2, right? Or it's not Monsters University or like one of the sequels.
I like Monsters University.
Why'd you make this? Yeah, I regretted that as soon as I said it. Monsters University is pretty
fun. Yeah, I like Monsters University. I think you're right. I think Toy Story 1's a stronger movie than Toy Story 2, but I like Toy Story. I think Toy Story has gotten better. I haven't watched 4 still. I can't bring myself to do it, but
that's why you think that 4 is not good.
Yeah, 1
and they're making 5.
1, 2 and 3 gets better piece by piece to me.
Dude, Toy Story 3 is
it's perfect.
Like perfect to me.
So good.
Yeah. Pixar at its best, and I don't know if I need to do a big dive into the Mind Palace to see if this is the case with any sequel to any movie, but like when Pixar is doing it well, the addition to an anthology feels more like a second season of a show than a second movie. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Like the way that the story continues, it's like the way I think of Toy Story, it's kind of like all the parts that were the best, you know, especially if in they're in close, like 1, 2, and 3, I kind of think of it as one story. I was like, I like Toy Story. Obviously there's conversations about which of the movies is better, but Inside Out 2 does this really well. And it's pretty brilliant in terms of one of the ones that, like, in a world that we're getting sequels all the time, and sometimes they're being filmed all at once, and sometimes they're released during the same summer. I think Kevin Costner's Horizon Western epic is a two-parter, and one is being released now and the other one's in August. It's so weird.
Yeah,
but
that is so weird.
With Inside Out 2, it's like, well, it does make sense in real time. Like, I don't want to see another Inside Out until I'm in my 40s, personally, because I want it sure. to actually be like, the amount of time that Riley has been alive. In my mind, Riley, she just keeps living her life. We're going to see her when she's 18 going to college.
Right.
And you know what?
Yeah.
That's great. I'm totally down for that. My super pump is the writing. And sometimes I'll do these general, like, paint with a big broad brush. But I think the amount of risk in writing about, and like when characters are the emotions that we feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And with the resume, even when Inside Out came out, it was just like, oh, I got to the end of it and was like, because Pixar was still doing great. I mean, Inside Out and Coco were in close proximity. Those two movies came out
They were
really close
apart,
together,
think, right?
And are in a completely different generation of Pixar movie making. But yeah, I remember Inside Out came out and I was like, oh my God, they've pulled this off in a subjective and yet really relatable way. Wow, they could have screwed that up, you know, because of what Pixar is and what that means to people and the lessons that are learned for the whole family. You know, that's the thing with Disney in general, but Pixar did it in a really clean, batting a little bit closer to 1,000 kind of way. I looked at, there was a fun thing that this was, I think, the 20th Pixar movie. And so someone pieced together Rotten Tomatoes, I think it was, like Flickster, pieced together a fun little poster of like all 20 movies and what they got on the Rotten Tomatoes meter. The only ones that were never certified fresh completely were Cars 2 and Cars 3, right? So overall, whether you dug Soul or Luca or things like that or not, like they're making good movies. And that's still, you don't get that a ton.
Which
unless
it's I thought
a specific
both of those
director.
Were pretty fun, by the way.
Yeah, I did too. But yeah, Inside Out 2 with the writing and specifically the belief system, which is something they introduced really early.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Like, oh yeah, down at the core, there's these things. And it's this, it's just all like the way it all works together. Like when emotions are working together, we see Joy actually kind of being down on herself for the first time. She has a bit of a chaotic, she's got like a break at one point that they're lost and she's losing her mind a little bit. And anger like soothes her. And in my mind, I'm like, with the way that these writers are, this has to be intentional. So what is the combination of anger working with joy for the sake of you as the individual? It's like, is that justice? Like, are we watching justice? Is that what this means?
Disappointment, frustration.
Righteous anger. You know, it's interesting.
It felt more to me like anger was just the one who was able to look at the situation and say, it felt less to me like that was, because I think it's very intentional that they are not in the command center when that scene is happening. And I think it's less to do with like Riley's anger helps her do this thing and more like the idea that anger was the one who was able to look at the situation and say, it's not that Joy is unhelpful, but it's that when you are, I tend to struggle. I think I've talked about this on the podcast before. I tend to struggle with almost like wanting to convert things to long-term memory while they're happening. Like, it's not living in the moment. It's like getting in my head and I have to like intentionally try and ground myself because, you know, I'll be at a concert and instead of enjoying it, I'll be like, I can't wait to remember that I did this, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
I think that is my joy trying to like go ahead and build in like, this is going to be great to remember later and super useful to you when you're feeling down rather than actually just experiencing what's in front of me.
Be like, exactly.
To me, I think that was such a great scene because I think it was just anger being level-headed. I don't know that and that's great too because it's interpretation. I don't know that I interpreted it as like Riley feeling anger in that moment so much as just like anger being more level-headed than Joy.
Oh, same. Yeah. That's what I'm kind of trying to, I felt like I was saying a little bit of the same thing too. But like how, like they, the thing too of like when you're writing a character specifically, what are their motivations? Yes, it feels obvious, but we also know that us as individuals are very nuanced and so are emotions, you know? Anger isn't just this static thing that its head catches on fire and it bangs at the control board. You know, it was cool to see them have, and in that sense, not necessarily, you know, they're not in the control room, so it's not really what's helping because anxiety completely took over, right? So the new emotions are really the majority of how Riley is functioning. But it is this kind of thing of like, your emotions grow up too, right? Like our emotions aren't waiting for us to figure them out because our emotions are already 80 years old and have so much wisdom. It's like, oh, we're seeing these characters grow up because these emotions are also only 13 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and it's fascinating. It's so good.
Carter, I'm going to co-sign that super pump specifically with regards to the nuance of the, like the way they've developed the belief system and turn that into like when that all the beliefs work together, it gives you a sense of self. And then the messaging of the movie at the very end, like the climax messaging that like an example of a self-limiting belief is I'm not good enough. And then another example of a self-limiting belief is I am a good person.
Yeah.
Like that neither of those are really helpful frameworks for viewing yourself and how you interact with the world.
Alone.
And instead, yeah. Instead, Riley has to hold all of it in tension and have a fully rounded sense of self rather than a super simplistic, I am good, I am bad, I am not enough kind of viewpoint. Yeah. That is such a nuanced position to take and totally like, I did not expect that. I thought that we were going to restore I am a good person and be like, great, see, now just do what a good person
really
would do. And it's that easy to be a good person.
I think about the time that I realized that that was going to change to something else, I was like, okay, it's going to have to be everything altogether. It's kind of just
I thought it was just going to be
again. But
I thought it was just going to be like, I'm Riley. But they really, went in and just went and did all the different things. But yeah, Chelsea and I were talking about, you know, because the I'm a good person belief was, you know, we can see in the beginning of the story, that's Joy only. Like Joy has control of that belief, really. Because mm-hmm. she's the one who has fashioned her own little chute, her little, you know, Bank of America chute that's popping those things back to the back of the mind. And it was like, hey, what happens when you're like 35 and that's your belief system is only that? And we were both kind of like, is that narcissism? Is that like, I'm it?
Yeah.
I'm a good person. And all the bad things that have happened in the past of like, well, I actually did trip that person. I deserved that penalty. You know, that was in the back of the mind.
Belief system. I'm shooting.
Doesn't fit my belief system. Yeah. I'm a good person. Why would you come at me right now?
Yeah. I read it as delusion, but I definitely see the narcissism
certainly.
Connection for sure.
Is a certain kind of delusion.
I think narcissism is delusion. Yeah.
But
no, I think
that was just so fascinating.
There is this moment at the end of the movie that is my super pump that, I mean, we've talked about it before on the podcast, whatever, dude, we get it. Depression, anxiety. I had a panic attack last night and firefighters had to put things on my bare stomach in the middle of their lobby, whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I've struggled with these things before. There's a moment at the end of the movie where after Riley has gone through this panic attack and gone through the steps to sort of come down from this panic attack, everything's calm and she gets up and she skates again. And then sadness, the what's it called? Like the control panel lights up yellow and sadness turns to joy and says, Riley wants you. And I don't know. There was something about like that feeling.
And it's like
is,
pulling joy to the panel too. There's that, like these like beautiful like sparks coming off of
joy that's just that a real feeling. Like that's something just being like, man, I want that. And I feel like sometimes when you're depressed, it feels like your control panel is calling out to joy and joy can't get to it.
Yeah.
And I think that like, just something about that moment of just like joy, she wants you. And then joy gets there and it's just like Riley enjoys skating again. Riley enjoys something she loves again. It's just so good, dude.
I call those neck tears. neck tears.
Yeah, for real.
I was
the
wiping
kind of tears
my
where
neck.
The collar of your shirt is wet.
Yeah. I just think that, I think that it all, I mean, it sounds like all of our super pumps are functionally the same thing. It is the care taken to represent these emotions well.
But, how fun to be in that writing room too, that's like, okay, someone's like, you know, and then anger turns around and tells Joy, like, hey, she's choosing you, like she wants you. And then someone's like, wait a minute, like which emotion should this come from? You know, like you have to be really thoughtful about like who says what in this scenario.
Sure.
You know, it's just so layered because that really makes, you know, because if it was just like a, they're just static and just whoever would say this the funniest, but like, I don't know. There's just so much running through my mind, like fear being anxiety's number one fan. And like all that kinds of stuff. It's like, oh, that makes sense. And embarrassment and sadness were the ones who were working together to try and help bring anxiety down. And it's like, oh yeah, I think there's something to be said about that. It was really,
yeah.
Who was y'all's favorite new emotion? Introduced, new cast member.
I mean, I'm a diehard AO Adebiri fan. And so.
Yeah.
Envy was pretty great.
Envy was super cute.
I think that obviously Maya Hawke as Anxiety was fantastic, and as an Anxiety boy myself,
Maya Hawke was so good. She's a good actor.
Actor.
She was great. She was great. That depiction of a panic attack at the very end was so good.
It was good.
I love that these movies too are like the events of these movies. Like the first one was Riley having to move across the country. And this is the story of like Riley's first panic attack. And it's like, that's totally things that like, if Riley was a real adult, a 30-year-old sitting down in therapy, to be like, hey, tell me about some of the hardest stuff that's ever happened. Riley would be like, well, I know it's silly, but I had to move across the country when I was a kid, or like had this panic attack at hockey camp. And like, I've thought about that. Like it's things that would happen to a real person that would be important moments in that person's life.
Sure.
Yeah. It seemed like, and yes, I mean, it was helpful. I guess it would be, according to Riley Cannon, her first panic attack, because it does seem like anxiety exists for the first time. It has hold of the control panel. But
well, that's valid thing too, to be like a teenager and be like, oh, I feel so weird, right? Like,
yeah. Well, they
the
also
onset of anxiety at a summer camp situation like that is so like, of course that's how it happened.
Chelsea was telling me too. She was like, hey, so there, she was like trying to like all five senses to bring her, like to ground herself. She was doing grounding essentially of like feeling and smelling and seeing and that kind of stuff too. So it almost looked like she was educated on how to get out of a panic attack, which in the long run, it's like, maybe it is more helpful to the viewer to have an example of, maybe this is what helps you do that.
Sure.
Rather than having to make that canon that really, no, she's had one before. But
sure.
I thought that was still thoughtful in a way.
We lose a couple of our original voice actors. And I think that I'm a big Bill
one
Hader
good,
fan.
One bad.
But I think Tony Hale is actually a much better.
He's Tony more Hale's made better, for it. For Bill sure. Hader can do anything you want him to. He's a Swiss Army knife.
Yes.
But it Tony felt Hale's Tony Hale was supposed to be. Even looking at Fear, and the character design of Fear didn't really change from what I could tell. It looks like Tony Hale a little
it
bit.
It does
more.
Look like Tony Hale.
You know what I'm saying? Like he embodied it so much that you're like, oh yeah, that's him.
That's true.
Yeah.
Losing Mindy Kaling hurt though. I think that was tough.
That was a bummer. Yeah. It apparently was a pay dispute for both.
Really?
Of them, so
get that back.
Good for them. Hold your ground.
They should be able to pay you anything you want.
You know how much we hate the corpos. Our composer for this movie is Andrea Datsman. She's a frequent collaborator and scoring assistant for Michael Giacchino, who scored the first one. And I think that it stands alongside Up as like a masterwork of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And Andrea Datsman's score was not as good as Michael Giacchino's score for the first one. She used his themes, and his themes are great as ever, but the score for this was felt very paint by numbers. I think I have a theory. Mm. That this was originally supposed to be a Disney Plus exclusive release.
Wow.
Which is why we had a lower cast budget for some of our secondary emotions. We didn't feel like we're as big of a deal. Andrea Datsman has composed for the only other like credits that that Andrea has that are not as like a composing assistant are for Doug Days, which is like Pixar shorts on Disney Plus about Doug, the dog from Up, also reworking Giacchino's themes for that project. And so this just totally feels like that kind of thing where it was like, it's like what they did with Moana 2, actually, where Moana 2 was going to be a Disney Plus, was going to be the animated Moana series, and they just reworked it into a movie to release in theaters this fall.
Yeah.
I don't think just there's going to ever be disciple. A way to confirm that.
Yeah.
Or substantiate that, but that's like that, my though. Theory.
I like the theory. I'm down for theories. Yeah, I do think, before we get too far past it, the like Super Dump is not having Mindy anymore. I think we lost, because
I know that was a bummer.
There was a lot of growth in Disgust in this one, especially like how Disgust had the we get to see everybody's gadgets, like their little extra things that they can do, and Disgust had her own little board that would come up so that she could do nonverbal like readings on people, and the Disgusts were kind of doing it to each other. And I did miss Mindy Kaling for that.
Yeah, big time. I think my super dump is just the very, very end was really abrupt for me. Like, it kind of just feels like we threw the e-brake and then rolled credits.
Short movie.
And I think I just...
Miyazaki style, huh?
I think I wish for...
No more. It's done.
A little
going
more...
Home now. War's over.
I think I wish for a little more... Like, falling action. Like, give me a little more, you know, how did the rest of camp go? How did... come? I don't know. I think... Her parents are such good characters and the friends were such fun characters that I think we just got a little more, I wish we got a little more time at the end to spend time with them and see how they were feeling.
I think
the teenager stuff is great too. I wish we got more of that.
I think that's probably the trouble of making a film that primarily needs to work for kids and then secondarily works for adults. Sure. It's because I don't think any kid would say that they liked any part of this movie other than the emotions and the crazy stuff happening in Ryan's brain. True. You know, I think that's probably us being in our 30s being like, how do the real people feel about this?
Well, I would think too, though, a little bit of it is that there is this realization, even though this is only the second Inside Out movie, is that like, it doesn't do an immediate pickup like other sequels might do, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not like, oh,
it's a couple years later. Yeah.
We know that we're not going to get to come back here unless it's nostalgia coming out and talking about the time that we were in hockey camp and stuff. Like, that's done. Like, if we wanted more of that character, like, see ya. Like, if you're outside of Riley's head, you're going to either be super different or not be there the next time that we come to the Inside Out world.
Sure.
So I want to commend the restraint to not bring Bing Bong back. I really thought they were going to find some contrived way to bring Bing Bong back.
I didn't. I guess I had a little more optimism that they wouldn't. That would have been silly.
Yeah.
Bing Bong's got to go, man. It's got to hurt. You know, it's got to really hurt. We even brought Disney brought Mufasa back, kind of. You know, it's like in the clouds. It's like you lose somebody and it like changes. I'm just thinking of the biggest losses in Disney that changed my life, and you kind of still get a taste of them. I think it's good. Yeah. You just let it lie.
I just want to say that all of the things in the vault.
So
we're
good.
So great.
It's so good. Cartoon
just character. 10 out of 10, no notes.
The
10 out of 10, no
old
notes.
Video game character from the fighting game was hysterical. I mean, so I was good, like wiping tears, laughing at him trying to, him like clipping through the door, trying to get out was so great. The dog, Ralph Funches' dog talking to the wall. Ralph Funches owns the local Stop and Shop. Ron Funches. Is an amazing celebrity.
I think it's totally okay to mess up names every now and then.
Yes, I know.
Obviously,
this.
Really big.
You
deal
do.
Of
oh, you
all.
Do.
I know you think this. Oh. Yeah, Ron Funches is fantastic. I thought that Pouchy. Was it Pouchy?
Yeah,
Pouchy was great.
James Austin Johnson.
Anger shoving his. First of all, can we just say James Austin Johnson, dude?
Do more.
Such a weird connection
Give
here.
Me more.
But my aunt was his drama teacher for a little bit. And
whoa,
she teach him the Pouchy
voice?
She
taught him the Pouchy voice. Yeah, no, he grew up in Nashville.
She credited?
He grew up in Nashville and she was his drama teacher, I think, in high school. But he's just so funny. He's so great on SNL. I feel like he's really come into his own this season, and then to hear him in Inside Out too, I'm just thrilled for the guy. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy too.
Do like, more.
He just seems to be so legit and such a good dude. So
he is like a perfect, like, ringer for your animated project.
Dude, I think he's kind of the Bill Hader.
It's kind of like a...
Yes.
And kind of a little bit like a Daryl Hammond before him. Of like the guy who was just an incredible impersonator.
Yep.
Not ever the most flashy, but was going to nail every single thing that they did.
Yep,
for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Very, very good.
Big fan.
You know, I had forgotten about how much Inside Out was playing with animation. And it wasn't just all, you know, felt CGI. It's like because we introduced Bloofy and then we had Slash Blade and they looked so different. I was like, oh, that's why we've done this before.
Yeah, with the abstraction, abstract thought stuff.
We've done this before. Yeah. Also, that voice actor for Slash Blade has done tons of anime. So he's
for real?
And voice and video game characters. Yeah. So he was perfect. That was a very thoughtful casting there.
Perfect.
Lance Slash Blade.
That's so funny.
Lance, dude.
Amazing. Slash Blade.
That's so funny.
Fantastic.
When his hair was glitching into his shoulder, like it was disappearing. I was like, dude, oh my God. That's nostalgia. That's what I should have said. But
yeah, for real.
I'm not trying to spoil the Inside Out conversation.
It says his main
huge.
It says his main inspiration is Cloud Strife, which I can see for sure.
Yeah, totally.
The big sword.
Is that Final Fantasy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lance Slash Blade is too funny, man.
Good.
Just a
good
worthless special move.
That's a Mike Schur level
name.
Cartoon name. Yeah. For sure. 100%.
100%.
If you've played Elden Ring, the big embarrassing secret looked exactly like the Beast Clergyman. Like, exactly.
That's true. I have nothing specific more to say about this movie, but I could talk about it for another 40 minutes, probably.
Great. We're going to rate it, though, instead.
Did y'all super dump, though?
Yeah.
Oh.
It feels harsh to say that Andrea Datsman is my super dump because, I mean, work as a compositional assistant for Michael Giacchino is great. Like, you got to spread your wings at some point. I just wish that it wasn't on this project.
That doesn't sound harsh at all. I wish you had done something different.
Listen, everybody's got to have their first try. Just don't do it on something that I care about.
Dude, I think Elden Ring would scare me too much.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, most of the fear of Elden Ring starts to go away once you get strong enough to fight everything. Because then it's like,
you guys remember when we
anymore.
A couple years ago when we did we rent a game? Did we rent that Alien game or did we buy it?
Ooh,
I think I bought it.
I don't know. You might need to check your library. Yeah.
Alien Isolation.
Yeah, I think I have it on PlayStation.
Played that for like 10 minutes. We're like, that's too scary. There's have you guys seen the new, I don't remember what it's called, where you're playing on like the oil rig in 1975.
Yes, I believe it's called Still Wakes the Deep.
Yes. Yes. I saw that and I was like, I would love to play this with Carter.
I believe it is like an eldritch horror attacking
the
oil rig. Yeah.
Yeah. It looks so scary.
That'll be one that I watch instead of play myself.
No, we should all play it together. We should all play it together or we should stream it or something.
Here's the thing though. You say we should all play it together, but neither of you are going to be able to touch the controller. So it has to be me and I don't want to play it.
Nah, I can do it. I'm strong.
No,
I'm stronger.
I have
now
played
than I've
horror
been.
Games with both of you. And I know that I will have to be the one who plays
it. I am
Listen,
stronger.
In those games, I'm like, which button is sprint? Because I'm just going to run through and try and like set off all the scares. Just like I'll die. I'll just keep like sprinting through. I'm like, okay, I know when this comes.
Yeah.
You
suggesting that we have to play Still Wakes the Deep is like when you tell your dad that you have to go to Disney World. And it's like, well, he's the guy that's got to pay for all of it. He gets to pick.
No, we should definitely play it together.
There's even streamers that do scary things like this that are like, yo, this is a terrifying game.
Are you looking that game up right now, Carter?
Yeah.
It looks so scary.
It does look pretty
Let's
scary.
Let's rate Inside Out too, though. I'm sorry for derailing us.
Don't be.
We're going to rate it Inside Out 2, not Still Wakes the Deep. We're going to rate Inside Out 2 using the Scientific Cinema Scale, which is perfect, and as follows. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it. Don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
The next best thing is buy it. That's followed by rent it and then stream it. After that is forget it. And last but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
I'm buying Inside Out 2.
I thought it was great. I really loved it. I thought that it was beautifully written, that the voice acting was phenomenal. The animation was, I mean, spectacular. Great job as always, Pixar.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm buying Inside Out 2. It's a great movie. Go see it.
I'm also going to buy Inside Out 2. I think that if you check the logs, I bought the poster for Inside Out when we reviewed that movie way back a couple years ago. And I just don't got the wall space for them both. This is a fantastic movie. I think that Inside Out has it beat just because it was novel, the first one.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. But this is so, so good.
I've got room, dude. I've got big,
you got
tall,
huge walls.
I've got the, what is it? What's the main hall in Hogwarts? I've got that kind of room right now.
Well, and
for my posters.
That second house you bought for all your posters too, I think is probably helping.
And the second house that I bought for all my posters. I do buy the poster for this. What of all of the Pixar movies, right? There's certain things that are like, and this is only my own personal experience, but things with like Toy Story and Monsters Incorporated, like the amount of risk of making a sequel to that, even though Toy Story 2 felt inevitable because Toy Story was so crazy. We want to go back to that world, yada, yada. It's just like, oh man, to touch Inside Out again, you have to be, I just can't get over how careful it feels like you have to be to try and pull that off. And they did it. I think it was great. Because the point is to make it inherently like relatable, but then also like, this isn't my head. Like I'm not Riley. This is Riley's story. It's not mine. But
yeah,
I buy the poster. Who do you think's driving your control panel at this time in your life? Who do you think has a reign?
It's a revolving door over here.
Oof.
You know, someone had brought up that it was interesting that anytime we looked at the adults inside their head, everyone has a chair. So everyone's got a seat at the table.
Oh.
Like they're all sitting down. Hmm. So it's almost like, oh, perhaps that's what a bit of processing does. And
yeah, I think
maybe
that,
therapy.
I think that anger was in the driver's seat with a couple others nearby for me for a long time. I think that I've been attempting to usurp anger and give the control back to joy where it belongs.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how I would
phrase it. I'm really getting to know my emotions. I'm actually doing like parts work in counseling, which is essentially like building your own Inside Out cast. Mm-hmm. And so I think in Carter's head, near the control panel, there is a whiteboard that joy probably has had the most time at the front before, or maybe anxiety is the one who made it because anxiety is a little bit more forward thinking. That's like it's like a schedule of like, okay, anger, you're gonna take some time. It's like intentionally trying to like let them have the reins and figure them out a little bit better so that we can work together more, I think is what's happening for me. Also, nostalgia is way more in my movie. As a 9,
sure,
I am such a past. I think of the past all the time. Charles kind of like gave a little nudge to my leg when nostalgia came up. I was like, yeah, I get it. That's totally
nostalgia. That's totally was me. So fun.
I think what's fun, nostalgia is great. I'm certain that we're gonna get more. There'll be consistently more screen time with every iteration of Inside Out of nostalgia. Because really, how much nostalgia does a 13-year-old have?
Sure,
right. Right. I think mine is whichever emotion is analyzed. Maybe that's a new one that doesn't, that
nope,
Riley
that's
doesn't
anxiety,
have yet.
Buddy.
That's anxiety.
No, sorry, I think it's different than that, probably.
No,
sorry,
no,
it's different anxiety. Than that, probably. I think it's probably different than that.
No, you're planning like, for the future, taking over a majority of your imagination and making sure
no,
that
it's
a control
whichever
center
like,
for possible scenarios that could screw things up.
It's whichever emotions like I gotta gather all this information
so I don't die.
I don't think there's one yet. Information,
I can
I don't think
analyze,
an analyze
it.
One. How are you feeling? Kind of analyze right now.
Kind of analytical.
Sorry,
analysis.
If I don't analyze this, I'm gonna die and the world's gonna end. Can you just give me a little time? Thank you.
Oop.
Yeah, bud, that's anxiety. We can
maybe in your brain.
We can talk about it offline.
Maybe in your brain that is. In mine, it's
Indiana
Jones. I simply will succeed if I can know everything first.
My main emotion driving is Indiana Jones. He's cool with a whip. He's not scared. I do think it would have been fun, and maybe this is an idea for future Inside Out iterations, to have the emotions try and act like they're not what they are. Like, I think the idea of anxiety in somebody's brain, like putting
on, being like, I'm protection.
Yeah. Like I'm wearing a suit of armor and being like, actually I'm cool and badass. And it's like, no, bud, like you're scared. Oh, that's funny.
Dude, I'm learning about like the gifts of all of those emotions. Cause I was such a joy putting stuff to the back of my mind.
Sure.
Kind of person. Yeah. But like the gift of anger is boundaries. Like you can't really create boundaries for yourself unless you allow yourself to be angry. And anxiety is about like clarity. Like without anxiety, you don't have, you know, there does have to be multiple ways that you can go and you have to look ahead of that.
Well, I think that understanding of anxiety is presented at the end of the movie when anxiety has the comfortable chair and the tea and it's like, okay, what's all the stuff that we could worry about? Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Uh-huh. How much of that's actually happening? So
yes,
that's good. Thanks for bringing that up. We can worry about the stuff that's actually happening. Everything else, let's check in tomorrow. See if that's actually happening tomorrow.
There is such a an incredible example of this sort of understanding of anxiety in a book that I read recently that, Doge will be reading eventually. And so I don't want to spoil like the details of it, but like, there's just such the different understanding of anxiety all kind of lining up with like anxiety has its uses if you're willing to let go of the irrational part of it and just simply embrace what a superpower it can be to be prepared. And it's just really beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, well, good episode. Tune in next week where we
usually
will be,
we wait for the listeners to say that, like in their
iTunes
reviews.
I don't think we have ever
mail
ever
that we've gotten.
Waited for anybody to determine if it was a good episode, but us. Make sure you tune in next week when we will be revealing our big secret project. I think you guys are really going to love it. We really are loving it. So I think that it's going to be an absolute blast. And as we just determined, our opinion matters the most anyway. So as long as we like it, we don't really
care. That's true. It is our secret project. I will say this. It is the true, maybe one of the realest
we
definitions
partnered with
of like
Pringles.
A total. We partnered with Pringles to.
So what?
It's soft Pringles. It's gummy Pringles to eat during the movies.
They're called Prongles.
No, our secret project's like maybe the true definition. the true definition of a passion project for me, where it's just like, man, I am constantly thinking about this, constantly being like, can I please work on this today? Can we devote some time? I am so excited to share it with everybody.
Yeah. Be good time.
Absolutely. I can't wait. Giddy out of my gourd about it. I've got my notebook sitting right next to me and all I want to do is open it and just read it to everybody, but I can't. I can't do that. I can't do that. To end today's episode, let's use it for us to say our name and what emotion is driving us in our secret project.
Mm.
Oh. For two chunks and a hunk. I'm Jordan, and it's definitely joy. It is for sure joy. Is that always a good thing? No, but it's definitely joy.
I'm Doge. And this is a tricky answer because there's a certain degree of abstraction to our secret project. Joy is driving me to allow fear to drive me.
Ooh. Wow, okay.
That is interesting. Such a my lightsaber actually is stronger than your lightsaber answer to that question. No.
My uncle is Doug Star Wars, so I know a thing or two about lightsabers.
Yeah, that's Doug Star Wars.
I have a force field. Actually, I have a force field, so your lasers don't hit me. So
I'm Carter. And
if you say anything other than joy, we're going to cancel the secret project.
No, it's definitely not joy.
It's for sure.
I'm
not
Carter
joy.
And it's sadness. I think sadness right now. I think it's mostly sadness and anger.
Mm.
But sadness. Mm. But sadness is really what it
but
is.
But sadness.
But
I'm sad about my butt. Well, I guess you'll have to tune in next week to begin to have even a guess of what that means. And we'll see you then. And we hope you're there. And today of all the days that there are is the one upon which we stand when we wish you and yours.
Yes.
A very good week and a very well week. We wish you a well week and a happy July. Y'all miss Christmas at all?
Think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims. Sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.